Hey there, come on in, make yourself at home. I'm Gary Zimak, and it's great to be with you here on this All Saints Day. Today we celebrate all the saints in heaven. That's a pretty cool day because we are all called to be saints. And for the most part, we don't think about that. For most of us, we go through our day and we don't view ourselves as very saintly. But that doesn't matter, you see, because with God's help, every one of us was created to live in heaven. That's who we celebrate today, the people who live in heaven. Not necessarily every individual who has a saint, the word saint in front of their name. Today, we primarily celebrate the unnamed saints, all of the citizens or the residents of heaven. And it's a good day for us because this day serves as a reminder that it's possible, number one, for us to live in heaven. And number two, that the church not only consists of the church on earth, but we have the individuals or the souls being purified in purgatory. We're going to focus on them tomorrow for All Souls Day. And we also have the saints in heaven. So the church is composed of the souls in heaven, in purgatory, and on earth. That's the church. That's known as the communion of saints. So we are all united. We can all pray for one another too. That's a really other cool thing, except you don't pray for souls in heaven because they're already where they need to be. But they can certainly pray for us. So make sure if you need anything today, ask the saints in heaven to intercede for you. We'll do that on the program. We have some extra readings today because it is a solemnity, which is the highest holy day in the church But if possible, we will open the catechism, talk a little bit about apostolic tradition with a capital T, if I have time. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for another day. We thank you for creating us in your image and likeness. Father, help us to remember that we are all called to be saints, and that you want us to live with you one day in heaven. Help us to think about that, especially during those times when we begin to lose hope or we get frustrated or overwhelmed by the problems of our daily lives. Father, please help those who are anxious. Help those who are lonely. Help those who are struggling with doubt or despair. Help anyone who is homeless or homebound. Help anyone who is battling addiction. Father, we ask that you help those people who are affected in any way by extreme weather conditions. We ask you to have mercy on the souls of the individuals who died yesterday in the New York City terrorist attack. We ask you to have mercy on everybody involved in that as well. And please, we pray that world peace can come about in our lifetime. Father, I ask you to use me today as your instrument. Please use me to proclaim your message. Allow your Holy Spirit to come to life in me so that my voice can be used to deliver the message that you have for us. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to that message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And all of the saints in heaven, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need it. I need the prayers to keep me going. I need your prayers. I need the prayers of the saints in heaven. I need the prayers of my guardian angel. And I mean, I'll take any prayers that I can get because life is tough. It's challenging. You ever feel like you're getting beaten down every day? I know what that feels like. It's not easy sometimes. It's not easy to stay positive and optimistic. But that's what we do because of our Christian faith. We know that God is real. We know that he loves us. We know that there is a heaven. We might not feel any indications of any of these things each day, but our faith isn't based on feelings. Oh, man, it's so hard though, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's why it's so incredibly important to keep our focus on the Lord and to make sure we speak to him every day, to have that conversation with him, both speaking and listening. The best way to hear God speak is through sacred scripture. That's the simplest way, I would say. And we do that on the program here every day. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. We're going to open up the Bible and look at the Mass readings for the Solemnity of All Saints. These are special Mass readings that were chosen for today. And we're going to read those on the program. A reminder, if you need to find out more information about me or maybe bring me in to speak at your parish, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, I would ask you to click on support and make a donation if you'd like to see my work continue. I'd greatly appreciate that. And don't forget the podcast for warriors. Let not your heart be troubled is something that I do. I put a five-minute podcast up every day. I load it up nice and early in the morning. If you're somebody who worries or somebody, you know somebody who worries, make sure you mention that, the podcast for warriors, and you can get to it simply by going to podcastforwarriors.com. Let them know it's available, and it's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. All right, now it's time to look at the Mass readings. Guess what? I don't have a beverage today. I hope you have a beverage. I really hope you are relaxed. Because when we do these talks, I really picture you sitting across the table from me, and we just talk about the readings, and that's what we're going to do now. But I hope you have a beverage. Hope you have a snack. Hope you're just in a good place right now. I think this is, I like this to be our happy place, where we hang out and we get to hear from the Lord speak through his readings. We get to hear him speak through his church when we look at the catechism. So it's great to be here with you, and I say that each day. I am not kidding about that. I really mean it. It is a legitimate and great pleasure to be able to share these 30 minutes with you. The first reading today comes from the book of Revelation, begins in chapter 7, verse 2. I, John, saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal, 144,000, marked from every tribe of the children of Israel. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshipped God, and exclaimed, "Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders spoke up and said to me, Who are these wearing white robes, and where did they come from? I said to him, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The ones who have survived the time of great distress. Essentially, what we are seeing here is a picture of the saints in heaven. We have no idea how many saints live in heaven. We have no idea. We know that there are some saints who are officially proclaimed or canonized by the church, proclaimed as, yes, they are in heaven. The church can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we have no idea who else is there. Could be our friends, our relatives, our former co-workers. Heaven could be filled with people that you would not expect to be there. We really just have no idea, but we do know this, that there is a heaven, and there are saints who live in heaven. And you and me were called to be those saints one day. And again, I know it doesn't feel like it. I know we get distracted. I know we all have problems. I know we don't feel saintly at times, but that doesn't change the fact. The fact of the matter is, you and me, we are called to live in heaven. How do we do that? Well, we don't do it by being really good. You know, a lot of times we think, well, we just have to fight our way through this. I need to be a better person. I need to be holier. I need to do this, and I need to work hard at doing this. It's not all you. What you and me, what we need to do is take advantage of that grace that the Lord gives us every day. And he gives us grace in many different ways. When we pray, we can get grace. When we receive the Eucharist, we get grace. When we receive the sacrament of confession, we get grace by doing, by using that grace, by cooperating with that grace, then we are able to do good things in life. And we couldn't do that without the Lord's help. We want to continue to ask for that help. You know, if you've got a person in your life who might be a challenging individual, and we all have them, and in fact, we might be those challenging individuals for other people. If you have these people in your life, don't just force yourself to be nice to that person, but instead ask the Lord to help you, to give you the grace that you need to act in a way that would please him. Because we do have a fallen human nature, and there's evidence for it all around us. Wherever we look, we see evidence of fallen human nature. So ask the Lord for the strength, for the grace to be able to rise above our desire to do the wrong thing, because we all have that problem sometimes, and to do the right thing. This is the way, one day at a time, we will make our way to heaven. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 24, Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. You know, in order to get to heaven, we need to have that desire each day to get there. Because if we lose sight of our goal, if we lose sight of the finish line, it's possible that we're going to get off the track in some way. Unless I always have in the back of my mind, and I can honestly say, throughout the day, I think every day about heaven and about my need to go, my desire to go there. I mean, it's not always a long period of time, but I always, that thought at least crosses my mind once each day. And it's the type of thing that comes as we grow closer to our Lord, as we do more spiritual reading, as we read scripture, as we meditate and pray, then ultimately we're going to be thinking more about spiritual things such as heaven than about material things. It just happens. It just happens over time. But I would encourage you to do that. We don't want to lose sight of heaven. We want to have that longing to get there, to live with God in heaven. And here's another thing. If you don't feel that, if you don't feel that desire, because you can't make yourself want heaven. You can't force yourself to feel a certain way. If you're struggling with that, ask the Lord to give you the desire, to give you the desire for heaven. Lord, please help me to desire heaven. I'm so focused on other things. Help me to want heaven above all else. You know, you can't ask for that, so don't forget. A lot of times we forget to do that. So that's the responsorial psalm. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. John. We get two readings today because of the fact that it's a solemnity. It's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what love, beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. We will see God as he is, face to face. That's what heaven's all about. We struggle in this life to see God, to the Father, to see Jesus, to see the Holy Spirit. We can't really see them. We can see through the eyes of faith. There were times that we are sure that they're with us, and there are other times when we think, are they really here? And that's challenging. That's the challenge of this life. But we are called, and St. Paul mentions this in his writings, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Too often we do just the opposite. We walk by sight instead of by faith. In order to really grow close to the Lord, we've got to get better at walking by faith and not by sight. And how do we do that? How do we get to that point? Well, again, we can ask for the help, and also we can really spend time with the Lord each day. Spend a little time in prayer. Talk to him. Let him know how you feel. If you're having a bad day, let him know that. If things are going really well for you, tell him how great things are going and how happy you are that things are going well. It's just all about relationship. And through that relationship, as you get to know him better, then you will begin to desire to know him even more. I mean, I know there are a lot of days when I wake up and I start talking to my Heavenly Father, and I say, Father, I want to get to know you more. I feel like I don't know you enough. That's not a bad thing. Initially, we'll think, oh, why do I feel that way? I should know him better. I should know Jesus better. No, it's a good thing because you're becoming aware. The Holy Spirit's making you aware of the fact that you need to know him better, right? And that's something good to think about. But one day, the mystery is going to be gone. Right now, we live in mystery. We can't see it, but we cling to that hope. We cling to that hope of living in heaven one day when the veil is going to be lifted and we will be able to see the Lord face to face. It's kind of incredible to even think about that, but that's what we are promised. The gospel, this is a very familiar gospel. It comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Wow, that sums it up, that last sentence, doesn't it? Rejoice and be glad when all of these persecutions and unpleasant events happen to you here, because you will have a reward in heaven. You're promised a reward in heaven. Every one of us, if we are still alive, it is God's desire for us to get to heaven. I mean, I think that's a pretty amazing thing. Again, I look at myself and I think, really? Me, a saint? That goes to show you how powerful the Lord is. So think about that on this All Saints Day, the fact that you and God will one day, with his help, live together forever in heaven. And there'll be no more problems. I'm running around a lot today, have a lot of things to get done. It seems it's a busy day. I have my daughters to pick up from school, and my wife's running around. We're both running around. We're both really tired right now. There's going to be none of that in heaven. I'll tell you, I am ready. I really am. So think about this on this All Saints Day, when we think about the saints in heaven, and we desire. And if we don't desire it, then we can ask for the desire to be one of them and one day be able to live in heaven with the Lord. Okay, we have time. We're going to talk a little bit about the transmission of divine revelation. We're going to start out today with apostolic tradition, which is tradition, as we call it, with a capital T. So what is that? Let's talk about this. This comes from the Catechism. We'll start in paragraph 74. And again, what I'm trying to do is just give you an overview of church teaching, but trying to do it in very small amounts. I don't want to overwhelm you with this. Paragraph 74, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that is, of Christ Jesus. And that's a really good thing to remember, and that's scriptural. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants you to go to heaven. That's right in the Bible. He also wants you and me to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is, who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to know his Son, Jesus. Christ must be proclaimed to all nations and individuals so that this revelation may reach to the ends of the earth. And that's where you and I, we have a role to play. Are we proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ? And if not, we need to be, because the church counts on us. Now let's talk about this apostolic tradition. What is that? Paragraph 75. Christ the Lord, in whom the entire revelation of the Most High God is summed up, commanded the apostles to preach the gospel, which had been promised beforehand by the prophets, and which he fulfilled in his own person and promulgated with his own lips. In preaching the gospel, they were to communicate the gifts of God to all men. This gospel was to be the source of all saving truth and moral discipline. So Christ commanded his apostles to preach the gospel. We call this the Great Commission, and we can see it in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, where as he was about to ascend into heaven, Jesus told his followers, his apostles, to go out to all the world and spread the good news. And of course, the world was a smaller place then. They could only go so far, but they did it. They took that very seriously. That was the command of Jesus. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Now, how is that done? Well, it's done in a few ways. Number one, it's done in apostolic preaching. In keeping with the Lord's command, the gospel was handed on in two ways. Number one, orally, by the apostles, who handed on by the spoken word of their preaching, by the example they gave, by the institutions they established, what they themselves had received, whether from the lips of Christ, from his way of life and his works, or whether they had learned it at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So the apostles, who were the original bishops, they handed on this message, this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, either orally, that's number one, or number two, in writing. And the Catechism states, by those apostles and other men associated with the apostles, who under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit committed the message of salvation to writing. Now, when we open up our Bible, we have the message, the gospel, communicated to us. How? In writing. We also have the oral transmission of the apostles. So, let me continue on, and then we'll summarize all of this. Paragraph 77, in order that the full and living gospel might always be preserved in the church, the apostles left bishops as their successors. They gave them their own position of teaching authority. Okay, so we have Jesus giving this authority to the apostles, saying, all right, you guys, before I get out of here, you take this message and deliver it to everyone, to the whole world. And they do that, either orally or by writing. And they, in turn, to make sure that their authority to do that, to preach, is continued or perpetuated down through the years, they have other bishops, or they ordain other bishops who are their successors to do the same thing. Now, paragraph 78 says, this living transmission accomplished in the Holy Spirit is called tradition, and that's tradition with a capital T, since it is distinct from sacred scripture, though closely connected to it. Through tradition, the church in her doctrine, life, and worship perpetuates and transmits to every generation all that she herself is, all that she believes. So that is what sacred tradition is. Now, one common source, paragraph 80, sacred tradition and sacred scripture then are bound closely together and communicate one with the other. For both of them, flowing out from the same divine wellspring, come together in some fashion to form one thing and move towards the same goal. Each of them makes present and fruitful in the church the mystery of Christ, who promised to remain with his own always to the close of the age. So that's what happens, sacred tradition and sacred scripture. Two distinct modes of transmission. Sacred scripture is the speech of God as it is put down in writing under the breath of the Holy Spirit. That's paragraph 81. And that comes from the Vatican II document, De Verbum. So that's what sacred scripture is. Now remember, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Word of God. How is the Word of God transmitted? And as Catholics, we believe it's not only sacred scripture, the Bible, but sacred tradition with a capital T. That's the apostolic teaching authority of the church down through the ages. Holy tradition transmits in its entirety the Word of God, which has been entrusted to the apostles by Christ the Lord and the Holy Spirit. It transmits it to the successors of the apostles, so that enlightened by the Spirit of truth, they may faithfully preserve, expound, and spread it abroad by their preaching. Now, next time, we're going to stop here. Next time, we will talk about, you know what, let me do this. Let me get this done. The magisterium of the church, because you hear that word quite often, too. Paragraph 85, the task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God, whether in its written form or in the form of tradition, has been entrusted to the living teaching office of the church alone. Its authority in this matter is exercised in the name of Jesus Christ. This means that the task of interpretation has been entrusted to the bishops in communion with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome or the Pope. So we have the magisterium of the church who is able, the magisterium of the church is the teaching office of the church, can authoritatively interpret both sacred scripture and sacred tradition. That doesn't mean we can't read the Bible. That doesn't mean we can't read the writings of the church fathers, but we have to keep in mind that the church ultimately has the final say as to what that means. And it only makes sense that's true, because you can have multiple conflicting truths, and chances are if you and I read something, we might get different interpretations out of it. Catechism continues in paragraph 86. The magisterium is not superior to the Word of God, but it is its servant. It teaches only what has been handed on to it. So I really think that that's all I want to talk about for that. We'll talk more about sacred scripture, because the way this catechism operates is it breaks things down. We just learned about sacred tradition, but now we're going to hear more about sacred scripture. That'll be next time on the program, okay? That'll be, God willing, tomorrow on the show. If you have questions, feel free to let me know. And I want to thank you for joining me on the program today. And please remember, I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but at least in the U.S., this is a holy day of obligation. Today's a big day, so make sure you go to Mass if at all possible, unless, of course, you're sick or somebody you're taking care of somebody sick, or you have a absolute reason you can't get there. But it's important. The church does this. The church institutes these holy days of obligation to help us, because it would be very easy for us to say, well, you know what, I love God and all, but I'm kind of busy and I don't really need to go to church. The same thing would happen on Sunday. Let's be honest. The minute it's nice weather out there and we become distracted and we don't feel like going to church because we want to go somewhere and have a nice day outdoors, we'd forget about the Lord. And gradually what would happen is this would erode our relationship with Him. We don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen, because we need to stay close to Him. So today is a holy day of obligation for a reason. So if you can, unless something's stopping you, make sure you get to church and worship the Lord. What a great privilege to be able to do that. It's also a great privilege to be able to spend time with you here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, remember, you can get this show on iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well. It's going to be free of charge in either of those places or on Blog Talk Radio. But in order to do that, you know what the deal is. I need your donations. So if you're able to contribute and help me financially, please visit followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. Click on support, and we can take it from there. I did get word that Jingle Bell Java, one of my favorite flavors of coffee from Mystic Monk, is now available. So if you click on the Mystic Monk image from followingthetruth.com, you'll be able to get yourself some of that great Jingle Bell Java and support your buddy Gary and keep me going in full-time ministry while you're at it. All right, thanks again for listening. Any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful day. Remember, there are saints in heaven who are praying for you, and you also are called to be a saint. So make sure you talk to the Lord about that, and we'll work on it one day at a time. Talk to you next time. God bless you. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.